like to welcome you to our show today at Take Time for Jesus. After today's message, we will have information on how you can contact the show or access past shows here at Take Time for Jesus. And now with today's message, here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord, but it's time to take time for Jesus, and I pray and hope that you do every day. When you wake up in the morning, you thank him for another day and allowing you to share it with him. I do myself because I know that it's because of his great love and the grace of the living God that I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm nothing without him, neither can I do anything without him. My friends, today there's many doctrines around across the world, and there's only one true living doctrine that Jesus told the apostles, gave to them the message that would be preached to them, by them, for us to hear, and it's in the Word of God. It's nothing secretly about it, my friend. It's all open in the book. I would encourage you that if you don't have one, you get one of the Thompson Chain Bibles, and it will bring forth a lot of scriptures in one right after the other one and bring it into a chain there where it's better understood. But nevertheless, if you believe in the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnated in the flesh, he was the one that came into this world to die for a sinner such as I and such as we were, born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We had need of salvation. At the start, with the only thing that God could consider to be people was the Jewish nation. And but now he did make a statement about that before he died on Calvary. He made a statement. He had said, "I have sheep of another pasture. I must bring them also." But he was speaking about the Gentiles, my friend, and that was where you and I were at. Regardless of who you are or what you are, whom or what nationality you came from, if you were not a national-born Jew, you are a Gentile. And we was in this world, but we didn't recognize as being anything. We wasn't even considered a people. We was without. They're under a curse of death without any hope. And our Lord God of glory, the one that created everything in the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof, came in the form of a man and the flesh of a man to die for yours and my sins and gave us hope of eternal life. The only thing that you and I have hope in is him for eternal life. You may have hope in whatever else, and you may have hope in, but my friend, if you don't have hope in Christ Jesus, your hope is in vain. For he is the only one that is able to secure you and save you from your sins. He died for your sins. He purchased you there, not with silver and gold, but with his precious blood, wherein that he gave his life and shed his blood for yours and my salvation. We were under a curse of death without any hope until Jesus came and abolished that curse and brought us forth and made us the sheep of his pasture, joined us together in the fellowship with the Jewish nation, and wherein that we become one sheepfold and one shepherd. He is the true shepherd. And if you've been born again of the water and of the Spirit and been received of his Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and you belong to him, you're a sheep of his pasture. And he said he would lead us into green pastures and by still waters. But there's many people down through the years. When I was a boy, I was told and didn't know no differently, but there was three in the Godhead. But my friend, there's only one God, one faith, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We're baptized into one body. There's not the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. There is mentioned in the scriptures, but they all one. Jesus came into this world, and there's many of them had doubt about him, and they persecuted him, called him all manners of things, and they will you too when you go to stand for the truth. The truth will make the difference in a person's life, and it'll bring forth out of death unto life, if you will allow him. But if you don't want to live eternally, then you consider yourself dead in this world, and you will not live in Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory, is the only thing that's going to make the difference, my friend. We cannot have an attitude of being worshiping the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost as three individuals. Jesus said, I came in my Father's name. He was there with Philip there one time, and Philip said, show us the Father and sufficeth us. He said, Philip, have I been so long with you? There they'd been with him about several years there, and they would walk with him, and he told him, have I been so long with you, Philip, and you have not known me? Well, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. For the Father is in me, and I'm in the Father. My friend, he said, how can you say then, show us the Father? My friend, God came into this world to die for yours and my sins. You could not nail him to a cross in the spirit. He is a spirit, and you cannot see him, for he is so powerful in observing until Moses even wanted to look at him, and he said, you cannot look and see my face, you won't live. But he put him in a crack of the rock, and he covered him with his hands, and Moses just seen his hind part as he passed by, and he glowed like a light. The children of Israel had him to veil his face. That veil is still over the children of Israel, I think, at this day, because they still looking at it to another way, another time. They're looking for the Messiah to come. Well, he came once. He came unto his own, and they refused him. And when they see him, when he comes again, and they see him, and they're going to ask him, he said, where'd you get them bruises in your hands? Speaking about the nail prints in his hands and his feet and in his side. The only thing that'll be in heaven will be that which man has made, will be them bruises that he suffered for you and I. But they'll ask him, where did you get them? He said, in the house of my friends. They were supposed to be his friends, but they hollered out, crucify him. If they'd have known the gift of God, they should have known. But the veil was over their face, and they couldn't see no further than, you might say, the end of their nose, because they did not want to believe or something or other. But unbelief, my friend, is sin. A lot of them unbelief, and they had him denied him and had him crucified because of their unbelief. Jesus told the scribes there in one time there, when they was there, and he said, they were speaking about who he was and what it, and he told them, he said, there, if you do, unless you believe that I am he was speaking about himself. Blessed, if you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. I quoted that scripture there one time with a congregation, and they thought I was trying to make myself be a God, but no, my friend. I was quoting the scriptures, and because of their uneducated ways and not knowing what the scripture says, they thought something other different. Well, it was the same way with the Jewish people when he would speak to them about the Father and everything and the Son. They made them two different ones. Well, during the time and years came on along, and they had that church council, and it was all Catholicism mostly. These denominations come out of it, and they call this because they didn't want this, they didn't want that, they would believe this and believe that. It was kind of like at the Tower of Babel when the God confused all their languages, when people got together, like the Japanese and the Chinese and this one in Russia and different ones. They could understand the language. That group got together, and they went their separate ways. But my friend, except we can believe that Christ is the Messiah, God in the flesh came and died for yours and my sins, except we believe that he is, then we will die in our sins. We got to understand the scriptures can't be broken. There's too much scripture in the Word of God there that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt if you would read it and believe what it says. That's why I insist on you to read your Bible. Find out what it says, not because I said or someone else said, but see what it says. Then you'll know that the truth is in the lids of your Bible. Jesus is truth. His word is truth. And the scriptures that he gave to us to verify the things that which is to be carried out is true. We can't make it on haphazard ways and believe in this every wind of doctrine that comes down the pipe. I know that years ago when I was just a boy, I didn't even know too much about it and everything, but it was back in the late 20s and when some of these organizations came into existence and they was called this and that and one thing or another. And then they come up with brothers fighting against brothers and accusing them of stealing from them and that and one thing or another. They carried one another in and out of court, but it come to be a big organizational church and it was broke up. They was divided and they come up and named another organization after that. And they both claimed that they was supposed to be superior to the other one or something other. But my friend, there's only one true gospel, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified, the apostle teachings and doctrines in which he gave them to preach unto us. And all this other stuff comes out of the church, denominations of this and that and one thing or another. Pay attention to what they're saying. Read your Bible for yourself. Don't listen to what all this is. The reason Catholicism tell them don't read the Bible. You don't need to read it. We'll interpret it. And if you get somebody telling you all that, my friend, not to read the Word of God, that they'll tell you what it says, run from him. Don't walk, but run from him. Turn around and walk from him in a hurry. Get on the way and have no more dealings with it. Read your Bible. Find out what it has to say. I encourage you to read your word, read the Word of God. In it, you will find the truth about the Godhead, and you will find that there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We are baptized into one body. The Father spoke the word into the little girl Mary, which was a Jewish girl in the bloodlines of David, which he chose to be king over Israel. But she came down years later, and he spoke the word, became flesh in the womb of that little girl. And he told her she would conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins. How can this be? I've never known a man. He said, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and you will conceive. She granted it and said, let it be unto me as you say. And she was therefore, the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. He walked among the people there in his day, walked on the earth that he created, and he abided there with them there. He ate with them and he slept with them. They went about with him there as he preached the Word of God for approximately 3 years there and taught the apostles he chose there. But he said, have not I chose you twelve, and one of you is a devil? He was speaking about Judas Issachar, because Judas betrayed him. Money is the root of all evil, my friend. And there's a lot of people in the world today that I've heard them say they wouldn't even put a shirt in the suitcase without $1,000 in his hand before they even put a shirt in the suitcase to go preach a revival somewhere or another. Jesus sent the apostles out and told them not to carry any scrip, not even extra pair of shoes or anything of that. Said whatsoever place they entered in, they supply the needs. And if they didn't meet their needs and everything and help them, he said, when you leave, shake the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And it would be better for them than it was and sit them in Tyre there in the day of the Lord. My friend, it's coming the time that our Lord is coming back very soon. I believe it's sooner than what you may expect or I, but it's not going to be that, because we know that time and hour. I don't say that I do, because I don't, but it's coming close. All the evidence that are written in the lids of the Bible is being fulfilled day by day. And if we'll look about and see what's happening by reading the Word of God, you'll know that it's coming nigh, even at the door. So, my friend, it's time that we take the time out of our busy schedule of our life to give God praise and honor the King of Kings, the Jesus that's in the Scriptures, the Jesus that came and died for our sins, cleansed us from our sins with His blood, not with the corruptible things of this world, such as silver and gold, but by His precious blood He cleansed us, washed us, that we become whiter than snow. Though our sins be red like crimson, He said He would wash us, and it would become whiter than snow through that precious blood. Now, how it is that you can take red blood and wash it whiter than snow is no more of a mystery to me than it is with a brown cow who eats green grass and gives white milk. That's none of my business. I don't question God about it. That's the way He set it in order, and that's the way it is, and it suffices me. I'm satisfied with it because that's just the way He made it. I'm satisfied to know that my God came into this world as a man to die for my sins. Not that I deserved it, but because He loved me enough that He come into this world to die for them that would believe on Him. He gave them power to become sons of God. The world can't become the children of God because they're too involved in the things of this world. Some churches have got the world more into it than they are out of the world. They got all the stuff going on that you can go to a juke joint somewhere or another. I've been in a few of them in my times past, and I've seen how they act. And some churches and organizational churches does the same thing, but yet they claim they're on the way. Well, I'm not sure where they're going, but nevertheless, if I don't see all this here stuff carrying on like that, and they can be separated from the world, because Jesus said, come you out from among the world and be you therefore separated, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. How can you be in the world and do the things of the world and still say that you belong to Christ? It's just utterly impossible, my friend. He came to renew us. He came to save us from our sins, not in our sins. He came there to save us that we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. He came to give us freedom from that sin. Not that we can say, well, I'm free from sin, raised my hand, and Jesus come into my life, and I'm on my way. Well, I don't go along with that, my friend. He said, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and therefore repent, calling upon the name of the Lord. There's so many false teachings and doctrines out there, and the Bible tells us, Apostle Paul and them, they warned us about these things. Take heed. Read your Bible. Find out what it says about it. And these doctrines and everything. These churches are going around and claiming if you don't belong to this certain organization, you can't get the glory. Well, if you don't belong to Jesus, my friend, it's definitely sure you will not get into the kingdom of God. Now, belonging to that denomination and putting your name on His roll and doing whatever, that's not it. That's not where it's at. Except you've been born again, you will in no wise enter in. You got to believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God came into this world. He so loved the world so much, as John 3:16 said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. He gave His Son. The sonship of God was the flesh that He came in. You can't take the Spirit God and nail Him to a cross, my friend. So He was manifested in the flesh. Isaiah speaks about Him coming there, calling the Lord God of glory, the everlasting Father. My friend, you can't get around the Scriptures. You've got to believe what it says. If you don't believe it, you'll be lost. Believe what it says. There's only one way we can make it, and that's into the kingdom. And that's through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We've got to call upon the name of the Lord. He died for yours and my sins. He didn't come here to to make a fool out of you or me or anyone else. He came to save us from our sins. We were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Adam sold it out completely, lock, stock, and barrel, to the devil when he disobeyed that one commandment, not to eat of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. But he did. Eve gave it to him, true enough, but he still eat it right on. And he sold to give the devil the title deed. He's the God of this world. And even when Jesus was tempted that time, and he was out in the wilderness there for 40 days and nights, he come to him, and when he was there, the devil came to him and he said, "If you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." Well, after 40 days and nights, anybody would be hungry, but he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Read your Bible, my friend, and see what it says. Then he come to him again and carried him up to a high pedestal, and he said, "Cast yourself down, for it is written." See, the devil knows that it's written. It's written that the angel will give power over you, that they bear you up, lest you hit your foot and stumble and fall. But he says, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God in vain." Carried him into exceedingly high mountains and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world. And he said, "I'll give you all of this if you just bow down and worship me." Jesus didn't tell him it wasn't his to give. He said, "Thou shalt not have no other gods before him." And the devil left him. He came out victoriously, my friends. You cannot have any other gods before you. The one true living God, his name is Jesus. He is the Father in the flesh. He is the God of creation. Everything that was made by him. Without him, there was nothing made that was made. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was in the mind of God that he was going to come into this world and die for the sins of the world, because he knew in advance what Adam was going to do. He knew the world would be plunged into sin, and the devil, he knew that he was going to try to overthrow the throne of God, and he got cast out into outer darkness. And he's trying to have all that he can and deceive as many as he can. And he's doing a pretty good job. And some people will believe Catholicism and this and that before they'll believe the absolute Word of God. Believe the Word of God, my friend. Read it for yourself. Don't take my word for it that it's there. Read it and find out for yourself. Like I said, if you get your Thompson chain and look in the back there, you find one word there and look in the back of it there, and you'll find it. It's all in a chain there about the Christ. He said, manifested, in the heaven, incarnated, as it was spoke about. Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel," which means God with us. As many scriptures there, my friend, that tells you about there who he is, why he came, and what he intended to do, and how he was going to come again and to receive his own unto himself. Now, you can believe the Word of God or you disbelieve it. It's entirely up to you. As Joshua told the people when he brought them to the side of the River Jordan there, he said, "Will you follow the gods on the other side, or will you follow the gods on this side?" They've come into the side where that God was leading them to. They had trouble, sure enough. They fought for there. They done away with a lot of the people there. And I suspect that some of the people back in those days, they doubted, "Why, we could have stayed over there. We'd had troubles over there. Why we come over here and it's just as bad?" But the one thing about it, he brought them into the promised land, and they were so unbelief until he dispersed them again and scattered them all over the world. But my friend, he gathered them back again, and they're there in Jerusalem today in 1948 when they become a nation. The Israeli nation there became born in a day, because God gathered them together when he spoke to Isaiah and many of the other prophets, he said, I will bring them together. He even told Ezekiel there at the Valley of Dry Bones, they all stood up there, and it was the whole house of Israel. He said, I'll bring them forth from wherein that I sent them. I'll bring them back into their own land. And then 1948, they came back to their own land, and they was declared to be a nation. My friend, it's all written in the lids of the Bible. Read it for yourself. They were first God's first chosen people. You can't get around it. We come in second place. My friend, we was not even a people. We were under a curse without any hope until Jesus came and purchased us there and gave us the rights and gave us hope in Christ Jesus. That's the only way we're going to make it is through the door. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. God himself came into this world and died for yours and my miserable soul, that we didn't have to perish into outer darkness and be cast into hell with the devil and all of his fallen angels. My friend, the devil was the bright and morning star. Him and his group of angels woke up the morning with song and went up until he got the sheep coming to him. And he thought, he said, I will arise, I will do this, I'll even sit on the Most High, the congregation. His eyes got him into the trouble, and he fought there, and he was cast out. My friend, but he came into this world. He was cast out here, and he tormented people for a long time. But soon, and very soon, maybe sooner than I may imagine or longer than I may think, but one day he's going to be cast into hell with it closed up to never bother nobody again. But you're going to be with him except you repent. You got to repent, believing and calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get there in no other way. You need to read your Bible and find out how it is for salvation for your soul, who purchased your salvation there, and how he done it. My friend, it's come to the time that Dr. McGee used to say the rubber hit the road. It's time to put brakes on, as I've said before, brakes on your sinful life and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you of your sins and call upon him and not just raise your hand and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. And as I've heard them, some of them have been there when they say that, you're on your way. My friend, I've been into this world a long time. The 13th of this month will be 90 years. And I found out a lot of things that people have said that come along. No Bible to back it up. It doesn't back it up in the Word of God. Then believe it not. Because if it says worded, the Word would be confirmed by the Word of God, then you can accept it. But otherwise, leave it alone. Run from it. As I told you, anybody come there telling you something else there, get away from it. Paul made mention about if they come preaching another gospel other than that you have received, don't receive them. There's only one gospel, the apostle teachings and doctrines. They teach Jesus Christ and him crucified. He is the Lord of glory, the one that I am, he is the one, the creator. He was the first and the last, without father, without beginning or without end. He come and died for our sins. He came one time there at Abraham when he come back from the battle of the kings there in Abraham's day. Abraham paid him tithes. He came in the name of Melchizedek. He was no beginning, no end, without father or mother. He was the God that came in the flesh at that time. Why don't you believe that he came into the flesh to die for your sins and my sins? I believe. I've been persecuted and called. Praise the Lord. Thank God that he said that we'd be persecuted for his name's sake. But I want you to think about it, my friend, that without him, you or I can do nothing. Without the blood of Jesus, you're still in your sins. You got to be cleansed. You put detergent in your wash to cleanse your clothes. You need that precious blood of Jesus applied to your sins to cleanse you from your filthiness of the flesh and of the soul. Detergent gets the dirt out of your clothes, but the blood of Jesus will get the sin out of your life. But you raise your hand and, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and you go walking the same old way that you've been walking right along. You haven't done anything, my friend. You're still in your sins. You will come to the place that we're in when we stand before him, and you may think, I'm okay, I'm going to make it. He said, he may tell you that he never knew you and be cast into outer darkness. Be sure, make your election sure. Call upon the name of the Lord. Read your Bible. Find out what he tells you and how he would have you to come to him. By repentance, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and be sanctified by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost dwells in you. God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He come in, God in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. There's no other way, my friend. These teachings and doctrines of some of these organizations getting three in the Godhead, and they want to baptize you in the title Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, when the Bible says, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is a name there, my friend. Father is a title, Son is a title, and the Holy Ghost is the absolute Spirit of the living God. He dwells within them that have been born again, and he lets you know that he's there by the witness there, that they witnessed there when Cornelius received the Holy Ghost. He spake with tongues. When Peter said, see here, can this baptism be them that have received the Holy Ghost as same as we? They received it in the upper room there in Jerusalem. 50 days after the Lord had descended, it came forth there. They waited for 10 days in the upper room for the Spirit of God, for the promise. Then the Holy Ghost came in on the 50th day, and the clothing tongues of fire, and speaking tongues at even. Sure enough, that other people around there understood what they said, but they glorified God. My friend, there is a language that you can't hear, and I can't understand either without it being interpreted. But nevertheless, some people don't want to even have that in their life. But that's immaterial. My friend, I believe in the Spirit of truth. I believe that the filling of the Holy Ghost, I believe with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues, I do believe that everything that is done and promised unto us in the Word of God is for us if we would only believe. But everything that God does through you, it will be done decently and in order. And if it's not decent and in order, it's not God. The devil has fooled you and brought you forth, and he will make a fool out of you. He's an artist at what he does, and he knows how to do trick you. But my friend, if you listen to the Spirit of God, you believe what the Word of God says and be found faithful to him, you won't be deceived, but you'll be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Receive Christ in you, the hope of glory. My friend, wherein that you can walk in the way of righteousness for his name's sake, not your righteous or my righteous, it's filthy rag, but in the righteousness of God, because he was found without fault, not even a blemish about him, not even any guile found in his mouth. He spoke the truth, and the truth upset some of them people, and they wanted to kill him, and finally they did have him crucified, but they didn't kill him. He gave his life, my friend. Understand, they didn't take his life. He gave it. He gave it willingly for you and I before we ever was. He died, made preparations for us that when we came into this world, we would have the opportunity to receive him and forgiveness of our sins. But it's entirely up to you and I. I thank my God that I gave my life to him a long time ago, and I believe that he's coming back again. I believe that it won't be that much longer, and that all these things that are happening around the world, these wars and rumors of wars, they're here, my friend. They're not coming 100 years from now. They're right here upon us. Believe it. Read your Bible. Read Matthew 24, and he'll explain a lot of that stuff to you, of what is happening. the earthquakes around. The other day, they had another one in Haiti, killed some people and tore down the buildings. But I've been to Haiti over there. It's some wickedness going on over there. They, a lot of trifling around with voodoo, hoodoo, and you do, or whatever. And they get down to all that. And that's against God's rules and regulation. I'm surprised it ain't worse than what it was, but God is merciful. My friend, he's shaking the earth. He's going to soon shake the heavens. And all this stuff that they got floating around up there, man's put up there, is going to come tumbling down. Man has even decided he wanted to live among the stars, but he said they'll try to do it. But he said, I'm going to bring them down. They're not going to go up there in God's kingdom, up there in the heavens, and live out there in his heavens there, as they, with their wickedness in them and everything. I don't care how many spaceships they make or how big that thing gets up there, that they, a space station, they call it. All God's got to do is just speak the word and it all come tumbling down. John seen a great thing falling out of the heavens there, the big as the top of a mountain. It could very well be that thing that's up there, they call that space station. I don't know. But nevertheless, it could be. It's big enough to be coming down there. And it may look like the top of a mountain. But my friend, only one way to get into the heavens above and in the kingdom of God is through the door, and that's Jesus Christ. Ain't no rocket ship going to get you there. It may get you up there so far, but that's as far as you'll get. But when he speaks the word, and all of this here, heavens and the earth will be shook, and that which could be shakable will come tumbling down. As he shakes the earth, there's a big earthquake, and they're happening around and about more frequently now than it was. More trouble going on around and now. It tells me by the reading of the word that the day of our Lord is coming nigh. You look about and see how that the people going around, young people going around taking these RK-51 to whatever they are and shooting people down in the streets, going down the road, killing our young for no reason at all, but because they have listened to the false teachings and doctrines of the God of this world, and they've come to the place and been indoctrinated by him, and the spirit of the devil is in them, and they want to kill. The Bible says that he's out seeking that he may devour, the devil is, and he's devouring many because he's got some of these people convinced that they need to worship him. They need to follow him. He'd bring them into the place all right, where he is. He's going to be in hell kicking and screaming along with all them that choose to go there with him. Bible speaks about hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. But because of so many wanting to go and desire to go, the hell has enlarged itself to be accommodation to them that want to go. My friend, you don't want to go there. Repent today if you haven't. Call upon the name of the Lord. If you know him, God bless you, my friend. If you've been born again, God bless you and keep you. And if you haven't been born again, do so, my friend, because you don't have the promise of tomorrow no so more than I do. I've been in this world for almost 90 years, like in a few days. But, my friend, I could go out tonight. I had a sister live three months before she became 80 years old, and she was the oldest one outside of me, and I'm the youngest. And I've lived almost 90 years, but that don't mean I've got the promise of tomorrow. She passed away several years back, but she never reached the day of 80. But my friend, I want to live for my God that we're in. If I lay down in this life, I'll take it up again and be with him forever. I want you to be there too. But the only way we're going to make it is repent. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Read what is in the scripture. Believe upon him. Accept his atoning price. He did. Be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Cleansed from your unrighteousness. Walk in the Spirit of God. Walk in the light of the gospel. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved. Oh, when you believe on him, when you're really born again, you don't desire to do those things. I have no desire to patronize with this Santa Claus business on Christmas or hunting the Easter eggs on his resurrection night when they go celebrate it. It's all a bunch of hogwash. There's no scripture to back it up, my friend. There's no such a thing as a Santa Claus. There was never nothing like that went on at his birth. The wise man found him when he was 2 years old in a house. He wasn't in the stable, as some people think. He was in the house there, approximately 2 years old, and they came and gave him the gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. The goal was to help him travel to Egypt, because God told him not to go back and let the king know where he was at, but to go another way, because Herod wanted to kill him. He wasn't going to have nobody taking his place, but Magi said, "Where is he that born king of the Jews?" Well, that set old Herod off, but he went into that place when he found out that that's where he was, and went in and killed all the young male babies from 2 years old on down. My friend, it's been a tragical thing going on by the hand of the devil because of his deceit and his things that he wants to destroy. That anything that God has anything to do with, he's out to destroy. So repent, calling upon the name of the Lord. Otherwise, he will destroy you, and God will put you in hell with him. If that's what you want, you just go on, live your life and do what you want to do, sin and do everything. And if you want to be with your God, and your God is the devil, the God of this world is your God, and he is the devil, and you're doing everything he wants you to do, he'll cast you into hell with him, and there you all be in torment day and night without any relief for eternity. I've said this before. I heard a person say that if you'd taken a sparrow and loosed him at one point of the earth, and each time he came by and circled it and made that point, and tip of his wing brushed away a grain of sand, when it's all brushed away, eternity would be just begun. My friend, you don't want to go in that route to follow the world and all of its gang down into the pits of hell. You want to be in the kingdom of God, where there be joy, peace, and love forevermore. Be no more sickness or sorrow. Be more no death and everything, but you be there with the Lord of glory. Be in the kingdom of God, wherein the righteousness will be, in that new heaven and that new earth. Only way you're going to get there is to repent. You can't go there any other way. The door is Jesus Christ. He came and died for your sins. He is the only one that can cleanse you from your sin. He, that name of Jesus, is the only name whereby that you can be saved by. Father is not a name, my friend, it's a title. Son is not a name, it's a title. I'm the father of three boys, and they're my sons, but they each and every one got a name, such as I have a name. But that's not, Father is not my name. And I don't tell them to call me Father. They call me Dad or anything. But I want you to know that God is sovereign. He can do without us. But my friend, we need him desperately. I do. I need him every day of my life. We're not walking on the glory world. We're walking in this world. We're in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. We can be born again and be separated from the world, not following after the things of the world and being caught up in all this here kind of celebrating that the world do and everything. These people that follow into that Sodom and Gomorrah business and everything is going to come to a rude awakening in the end when he said, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." They said, "Well, this is the way God made me." No, God made man and woman. He didn't make John and Dave or whatever. He made the man, and out of the man's rib, he created a woman, and he called her woman. It was to be a helpmate to the man. There's no way in the Bible that Sodom and Gomorrah was eat up with that kind of stuff, and he destroyed it with fire and brimstone out of the falling out of the heavens and destroyed it. It's going to be the same way, only the fire is going to be in the pits of hell, and they're going to be tormented day and night, as the devil himself will be. My friend, there's only one way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't get there except no other, in any other way. I don't care what your denominational may teach you in this and every way. There's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of glory. He is God, came into the flesh to die for yours and my sin. No other way. And these that teaches being baptized in the title Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they won't even let a person like me come in there except I sign allegiance to them, and I won't do it because I know better. I know that I cannot serve the God of creation as I do freedom with Him knowingly than I join one of those organizations that teaches a different gospel. I can't do it, my friend, won't do it. I've been persecuted. That's all right. He said we would be for His name's sake. I've been called a few things. That's all right, too. He was even done worse. He was mired more than any man, but He suffered all of that they put on Him. Beat Him with cat of nine tails until the flesh of His buttocks hung down over His back, hung down over His buttock. Beat unrecognizable. Mired more than any man, but He done it for you and I. He done it to cleanse us from our sins, to bring forth that precious blood that would cleanse us. No other fuller soap can't cleanse it no better than the blood of Jesus as far as your sins is concerned, my friend. It's going to take the blood of Jesus. Calling upon Him, baptized in His name, received of His Spirit the Holy Ghost to get into the kingdom. And if the righteous scarcely make it in, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? So in the word of God says, we're not going to make it except through the door. And Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. Believe what the scripture says, not because I quoted it. It's there. And I've read it. I believe it. But read it for yourself, my friend. Understand that God will give you the understanding and wisdom to know if you'll ask Him. If you don't understand something other, if you really want to know, you ask the Lord to do it. Sacrifice a few meals, as I did, and find out. When I was approached about that baptism in Jesus' name, old flesh wanted to say, hey, you do your thing and I'll do mine. Because I was raised Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But the Spirit of God checked me. And I didn't say anything, but I went and took my Bible and I put my plate upside down for a few days and seeking God for the truth. And I told Him, I said, Lord, if there's three of you, it doesn't matter to me. And if there's but one of you, that still doesn't matter to me, but I want to know the truth. And You said You would lead us and guide us into all truth. I want to know. And when He set me down there after a few days of fasting and praying, set me down at the table, and I'm going to give you this scripture there. You read the first chapter of John, and you read it thoroughly, my friend, and run the references on it, and you'll find that God in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. His name is Jesus. God came into this world. He was manifested in the flesh. It ain't no three of them, it's only one. And these doctrines that people that come around and saying there's three in the Godhead, I would suggest you leave them alone. Go and seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart. You'll find Him to find out that if you read it and want to understand it, go it. You can take the scripture there, start at John, first chapter of John, there and go from there, the first chapter, run the references on it, and you'll find out who He is, what He is, and all about Him. And then you'll understand when He told Philip, Philip, have I been with you so long and you have not known me? But when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Why ask me to show us the Father, show you the Father? The Father is in me and I in the Father. I and my Father are one. It's plain as the nose on your face, my friend. Only you got to believe it. If you believe that false teachings and doctrines, you're liable to wind up on the short end of the stick, so to say. There's only two places after this life. That's either up or down. The kingdom of God will become forth out of the clouds of glory, and the King of Kings will receive his bride, and he will marry her there, and he'll come back and fight that battle of Armageddon there with his saints, and he's going to put all the adversaries and all other things down, and the white throne judgment's going to come to play. And when you stand before him, and that, and your name is not on the Lamb's Book of Life, means you got to be born again and get your name on the Book of Life. If it's not, you'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I don't know you. And you'll be cast into hell, which is the second death. My friend, you don't want to go that route. I plead with you. Call upon the name of the Lord. If you don't know him, call upon him. Repent, be in godly sorrow for your sins, and walk in the way of the gospel. Read your Bible and find out what you need to do. Don't take my word for it, but believe what the Word of God says. There's so many people that reads it, and they just like to read the funny book or some, or a true story magazine. They read it, but they don't really read it. Read it with understanding. If you can't understand something, ask the God of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, by his Spirit to open your understanding and help you to understand it. He'll do it. He did for me, and he says he has no respect of person. I know how I had to come before him and repent, brokenhearted, contrite spirit, and he has no respect of person. And that race in your hand, Lord Jesus, come into my life, is a bunch of hogwash. I'm not going to apologize for it. It's a bunch of hogwash. Just like these men married men and women married men, women. It's hogwash. It's wrong. It's totally wrong. But God's going to be the final judge, and he's going to have the final say. And when he says, depart me, ain't no smart law, you're going to jump up and say, hey, we want a new trial. We're going to set a new date. No, he'll be probably cast into hell along with them, my friend, because of his unbelief. Unbelief will get you out of the kingdom of God. You got to believe on the only begotten of God, full of truth, grace and truth. You got to come to him in his way, not in your way, but in the way he chose for you to come. I trust we said something other that would encourage you to read your Bible, to find out what God has to say about it. We appreciate those that have wrote to us. Appreciate each and every one of you. I appreciate your prayers, and we do pray for you, my friend. I just pray that God would bless and undertake, open your ears and your understanding to hear and what the Word of God has to say. Read it for yourself. I don't do a lot of quoting the scriptures and calling them out and everything. I can give you that, but if you'll get your Thompson Chain Bible and you look in one word there and you don't know, you want to know more about it, look in the back. There's a number there beside it, and it'll give you a chain on it, most likely. It won't be on everything, but it'll give you some information there to where you can trace it down and find out what it all about it. That's what I do. My friend, let me encourage you. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for us when it's all well with you. And we praying for thee. And God bless you and keep you. And our prayers is with you. And may the Lord Jesus Christ smile upon you and bless you. And our prayers is with you, my friend. So God bless and keep you until we meet again. If not in this side of eternity, may we meet with God in eternity with him forevermore. God bless. Amen and amen.
Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
Take a little time in the morning, and you'll feel better all day. Take a little time for Jesus, to get down on your knees and pray. He took the time to die on the cross, so all of our souls If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Sometimes you may be in a hurry. You have so many things to do. But don't forget about Jesus. Remember, He didn't forget about you. He took the time to die on the cross, so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
We would like to thank you for joining us today on Take Time for Jesus. Email the show at ecompton31@yahoo.com. If you'd like to check out past shows of Take Time for Jesus, go to our website, taketimeforjesus.com. We look forward to joining you again on our next show as we Take Time for Jesus.